Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
What's going on, guys? This is Dave Heilman, a.k.a. Dynasty Dorks. This is the SGPN Fantasy Football Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. We're presented to you by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted same-game parlays to live in-game odds, WynnBET has exactly what you need to win. Sign up today. You're going to get $100 when you bet $100 at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET. State restrictions apply. Also, don't forget about our SGPN's Big Game Square Contest, $1,000 prize pool, and completely free to enter. Just go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/squares to enter today. All right, what's going on, guys? We have a great guest on the show tonight, Alex Korf. Alex is peaked in high school, and that's high school with a K. And first day on the job for Draft Sharks. Congratulations. I followed your work for a while. I followed you on Twitter. How you doing tonight, sir?
I'm doing good. I had a good first day. I just got back from Mexico and was on vacation for a week, and then I was like, I got to work. There's worse things to do than start your full-time job in fantasy football. So I'm pretty excited. And
what are you doing over there for them?
So I'm a product manager to help them just not clean up, but like make their tools better and make new ones. That's what they're really excited about is they were like, hey, we see the work that you're doing over on Reddit, over on Twitter. Let's get that in here. Let's get to even more tools and get out there and see how many people we help.
Cool. We're going to show off one of those tools tonight. To start off, we're going to talk about Brock Purdy and Trey Lance. We saw the news. Yeah, I mean, yesterday was just awful to see that happen. Awful for me as a Giants fan wanting the Eagles to lose. But awful for anyone that's a sports fan wanting to watch a good game and you see the quarterback go down. He's the third-string quarterback as it is. Josh Johnson did his best. That guy's been on 27 different teams. But the dynasty question we all need to know, like, what do we do with Trey Lance and what do we do with Brock Purdy? Alex, you're the guest. I'm going to let you go first. What are we doing? We'll start with Trey Lance. What are we doing with Trey Lance?
So before last week, I was kind of out. I'm one of the ones that didn't really believe in him super hard in the first place. I just never seen it. I still have not seen it. Now I think you kind of gotta hope it's him because I mean I think the most recent report I saw was 6 months on Purdy, and that's pushing it. I mean, he's going as like a mid first. That still feels rich. Like what was he was drafted 2021. Where was he going in super flex then? Was it was like 103, one like yeah. How has he not dropped down?
Yeah.
How has he not dropped more than that to me? Like this is a strong class, is what they're projecting. How is he still a mid first? Where do you guys think he should be going?
Yeah, and someone put the conversation out there last night. They said, you know, it's Bryce Young, Stroud, or Lance. And I was looking at my startups and my mock drafts that I've done recently, and I was like, not really. Like, Lance is, for me, was not a like buy low based on the cost that I was seeing. The cost to acquire was still pretty high, 12 to 13, you know, to 15 range. But he still was going after Bryce Young, after Stroud. Okay. So he was more in the 105, maybe the 104 range. And that was as Purdy kept winning games. I think maybe the cost is going down a little bit, but yeah, I mean, it still is pretty high to acquire. Brad, what are your thoughts on Lance?
I was out in week one after I saw him play against the Bears. I don't care how bad the weather was in that game. Just like Alex said, I was not a fan of him coming out. I didn't think he was worthy of that draft capital in either the real NFL draft or dynasty drafts at all. And even when he got the opportunity to play outside of his legs, which you can't argue that he's got the legs to produce, he did not look good as a quarterback. And I don't think that's changed. If anything, it's going to be longer for him to develop because he just continues to get interrupted. He didn't get to really play much his rookie season. He comes in, plays one game, and misses the whole season with his ankle all year this year. And the price, like you said, Dave, is still just too high. I don't even know that I'd want it if he was healthy. Now, Brock Purdy, though, I'm also now a little scared of, not only because of the six-month injury, but one of my friends is an ER doctor. Now, he's not like this orthopedic surgeon or anything like that, but he says, look, this UCL is very difficult to come back from. Very difficult to come back from. And when you couple that with the fact that he is a late, as in last draft pick in the NFL draft, that's going to make it very difficult for him to make it back on the football field, especially with some of the free agent quarterbacks that are out there, some of the rookie quarterbacks that are coming out. So I think I'm probably out on both of these guys, neither of which I believe are going to end up being the starter for the 49ers next year.
Yeah, and Brock Purdy, the sell window is closed. And so myself included, I missed an opportunity to sell. Don't get me wrong. I put him on the trade block and I got an absolute crap offer and decided, said, no, I'm good. But I should have pursued it more. If I would have got a second round pick, I would have been winning. Got this guy for $36 of fab last season. Like I would have been winning. And even a third, a fourth, and Thielen might have been a profit at this point. But it's the sell window's closed. People were like not selling unless they got a first round pick, and that window is out. And it's just, you know, it's very similar to the Tony Pollard situation the week before. Like, watching these dynasty players play in the playoffs is so frustrating. When you see them get hurt and their value gets killed, people are like, I just traded for Tony Pollard, like, today.
He broke his Sorry, Matty.
You know? Like, yeah, Matty Daddy. And then you got the situation. And so the other rumors out there are Jimmy Garoppolo could come back. You got Tom Brady. They're going to do everything they can to get Tom Brady because Kyle Shanahan is just cursed. And the other one is you know, Aaron Rodgers. But the Packers say they're not going to trade him in the NFC. And then Kirk Cousins. I mean, if you were to say your best guess, Alex, who's the quarterback of the 49ers next year?
I mean, I would say week one, it's still Lance, right? He'll be back. I just don't know that I'm excited about it. But it's probably still Lance. He's on a rookie deal. He's going to be there. He's going to be in the room. Is he the starter? I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if it was Jimmy G was back. They clearly need four or five on the roster just to make it through a season. So maybe they'll
Lance is going to show up. But, yeah. Lance is on a rookie deal. Purdy's dirt cheap. I mean, I think they could get away with at least having those guys on the roster, and they could get somebody else with the way. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo made about, you know, he made a little bit of money this year, $8 to $10 million, but you know, he would have to take a really team friendly deal to come back. But Purdy is literally like making nothing. And then, you know, you have Lance on a first round quarterback contract. But I don't think they can move Lance at this point. Now they said that he's hoping to get a second opinion and avoid Tommy John surgery. Like that's how bad this is. This is a baseball type of an injury. All right, we've talked enough about Purdy and Lance. We're going to get into our QB rankings, but before we do that, we're going to check back in with the sponsors. I want to make sure, again, to tell you about WynnBET. It's the official online sports book of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. WynnBET is active in a bunch of states, and there are tons of ways to win, including live betting and same-game parlays, a.k.a. WynnBET's Build Your Own Bet. The big game is here, and WynnBET has you covered. Great promos, odds, and payouts are happening right now at WynnBET. If you're ready to play, just sign up today. You'll receive a special offer. If you bet $100, you're going to get a $100 free bet. Limited state availability. And of course, if whoever hits the biggest long shot parlay of the week, you will get a $1,000 free credit. There's so much to choose from. All you have to do is head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. That's how they know we sent you to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET. Offers subject to change. Terms and conditions at WynnBET.com. Must be 21 or older and present in a state where playthrough WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, please call 1-800-522-4700.
Yeah, and like Dave said, we also have that Big Game Squares contest going on right now, and we are giving away $1,000 in this contest, and it is completely free to enter. All you need to do is go follow the Sports Gambling Podcast on Spotify and also maybe give them a good rating. Then go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/squares to enter for your chance to win the big free game square.
All right, well, let's get in the QB rankings, and we're going to kind of fly through these top 12 because they're easier than the rest of the group. Mahomes, Brad 1, me 1, Alex 1. I don't think there's too much else to say about Patrick Mahomes. He's pretty good at football, even on one leg. Number 2 for Brad was Allen. For me was Allen. For Alex is Allen. Then a little bit of change. You got Jalen Hurts at 3 for Brad. Jalen Hurts at 3 for Alex. And I have Joe Burrow at 3. And I have publicly apologized to Russ and Rocky about Jalen Hurts. I said he's on pace for 17 touchdowns.
16 touchdowns, yeah.
Yeah, and then the next week he threw 4, and then he's been on fire ever since. So I publicly apologize, but I guess I still am a hater. He's at my 4 spot.
Do you think there's a tier break between those first two and then Burrow and Hurts? That's kind of where I see a natural.
Yeah.
Allen and Mahomes are easy, and then I can see an argument for Herbert, Hurts, Burrow as kind of that third tier, second tier, but those three guys, I wouldn't argue with you in any way. Yeah.
I'm totally with you. I always say like we gotta do our rankings linear, and you're gonna get beat up because you hate this guy because he's at 4 instead of 3. I do not hate Jalen Hurts. If I could put Burrow and Hurts side by side, I would. I can't. And I do think Lawrence is in there too. And that really is our consensus top 5. Brad has it top 5: Mahomes, Allen, Hurts, Herbert, and Burrow. I have it Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, Hurts, and Lawrence. Then it is Mahomes, Allen, Hurts, Burrow, and Herbert for Alex. And so number 6, Brad, you have Trevor Lawrence. I have Justin Herbert and Lamar Jackson for Alex. So let's talk a little bit about Justin Herbert. We had some news today. Kellen Moore goes to the Chargers. Alex, what do you think that does for Justin Herbert?
I mean, anything's better, right? I mean, it just has – I have to tell myself that it's an improvement. Herbert is so talented. He's just I think they're going to get another wide receiver somewhere. They need a little bit of something. I think he's maybe a good bounce back. And he burned me this year. He got me good. He was, I think, probably the biggest quarterback bust this year, because you moved on from Russell Wilson early, right? You knew that it wasn't him, but people just kept rolling Herbert out, including me. This year, I think I'm going to, if he is depressed, I'm going to have a lot of him redraft in Dynasty if I can.
Brad?
Yeah, I think it's hilarious that we're, and I get it, don't get me wrong, but it's hilarious we're talking about a guy who threw for 4,700 yards is like, man, this is a really down year for Justin Herbert. Yeah. I get it, right? I get it. He threw for 5,000 last year and like 30-some-odd touchdowns. His touchdowns were way down. I don't even know that I necessarily – I get Mike Lombardi was not a great play caller. I will give you that. But it's also probably not totally on his shoulders when you miss – Mike Williams for half the season. You miss Keenan Allen for half the season. You got Gerald Everett, new guy on the team. Joshua Palmer trying to step up. DeAndre Carter trying to step up. Like, you got all these pieces moving around, and you clearly saw a different Justin Herbert when Keenan Allen was on the field. It's just that he's a different guy when he's got those players. He can produce the yardage regardless. He just can't necessarily guarantee that 30 to 40 touchdown upside that we saw last season. So I'm locked in on Justin Herbert. There's no way he's fallen out of my top 5. I think Kellen Moore, if he can make Dak Prescott fantasy relevant like he has, again, questionable play calls at times, I think we're going to be just fine with Justin Herbert as well.
Yeah, not to mention he had busted ribs for the first half of the season. And then he just had shoulder surgery. Apparently, he had a shoulder injury as well. And his left tackle was like week 7, went out for the season with a torn bicep.
Corey Linsley was out there for a little while too, right? Their center?
Yeah. So we got Lombardi's out. Moore is in. And yeah, I do think it's a positive move, and I agree. They're going to get something. I know they have some speedsters there, but I think they need like a real difference maker. And some of these guys in the draft, they're going to fall right into their laps. Seen some mock drafts, and they, as much as we love this rookie class, even though I will say I think we all overhyped the 2023 class a little bit and underhyped the 22 class. Kiper, McShay, Jeremiah, everybody's shown these receivers being drafted in the 20s. There's no receivers in the top 10 in their drafts currently. Could change, but normally they are, you know, showing these guys a lot higher. If the Giants can get Addison to 25, I would love it. I don't think it's realistic, but I would love it. They're seeing these guys going in the 20, 25 range. Yeah. And that's where the Chargers are picking. And if they can get one of the top three receivers this class, I'm all in on buying back in on Herbert. And I really hope there is, a suppressed cost. So I want to talk about him. Lamar Jackson's the next one. Free agent. They could tag him. They could tag and trade him if they can't work something out. He most likely is back. Greg Roman's out of town. Are they going to go to a traditional offense with Lamar Jackson? What does that look like with Lamar Jackson? Because I know he played more of a traditional offense in college, but that was college, and he was in, what, was in the Conference USA at that point, wasn't ACC.
It might have been still at that point.
It was Louisville, and he wasn't playing against Alabama every week or Pittsburgh Steelers. So I want to see what that looks like. Rashad Bateman does come back, which is a positive. Alex, what are your thoughts on, you know, what people should do if they have Lamar Jackson?
I mean, I think you have to hold and hope that they get at least one more wide receiver, if not two, in the draft. I mean, first or second day pick, and then someone later. They just who was catching the ball? DeMarcus Robinson, and then name one other. Name one other wide receiver.
Devin Duvernay.
There we go. There, Devin Duvernay. That's a person, probably.
Yeah, that is a person.
Probably a very nice guy. Yeah. But like, you just can't do that. You can't do that to your quarterback. I think he's a prime candidate for a bounce back as well. I don't think you sell low. You can't move him right now. You're not going to get what his value is. Like, it's not reasonable.
No,
go buy him if you can.
It'd be hard for him to see him leave, but last offseason showed us that the impossible move of moving a quarterback in the past is no longer. These GMs, they grew up playing Madden. They make moves, and it's fun. Last offseason was great seeing all these quarterbacks moved. And it's funny, look at the draft right now. The Lions are picking high because that Matthew Stafford trade. You look at the Seahawks, they're picking high because of the Russell Wilson trade. And so, you know, you're going to see some moves. Aaron Rodgers could be on the move. Derek Carr could be on the move. Apparently, people think that Kirk Cousins could be on the move. It's going to be a lot of fun. Let's finish up Brad's top 12. So Brad's top 12, Mahomes, Allen, Hurts, Herbert, Burrow, Lawrence. Then he has Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson, Dak Prescott, Kyler Murray, Tua Tagovailoa, and Justin Fields. Brad, having Tua above Fields with the current situation, what's the rationale behind that?
I could say the same thing about Justin Fields, right? What's the situation? Is it good? Is it bad? Does Matt Eberflus live to see another year after next year? And with the coaching change, if he underperforms outside of his legs, which, don't get me wrong, he was outstanding from a rushing perspective, still didn't look that great from a quarterback perspective, right? So I think there's question marks with him just as much as there is with Tua. But with Tua, it's more about health, right? We've seen the concussion narrative with guys like Brandon Cooks, right? And Brandon Cooks comes back the next season and catches for 1,000 yards and is healthy all season long. So I'm not letting the concussions necessarily steer me. Now, don't get me wrong. Tua, I have my criticisms about Tua from a quarterback perspective also, right? I think Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill make him look really good. But the simple fact of the matter is he still has Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill, and there's nothing we can do about that right now. So for the foreseeable future, while he has those weapons, I can't take him out of the top 12 because we've seen this guy produce week in and week out with both of those guys healthy. So,
Alex, any thoughts on Tua?
No, I like Tua a lot. Would you be comfortable with him as your quarterback one in your super flex? I would much rather have him as my quarterback two and then have one of these other guys. Like, but I still, he's in my top 12. He's my number 12. I was all over him. It's the Waddle and Hill are just throwing to those guys. Even me behind there doing that, I would be.
You figured it out, right?
Yeah. And so, so if you've watched the show before, I do my rankings really based on like trade value and how I value them. And looking at it, I have Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, Hurts, Lawrence, Herbert. Then I have Fields, Jackson, Watson, Murray. And then I was stuck. There's a huge cluster, about 10 guys that I was like, I could put any of them in there. And the reason I put Bryce Young and CJ Stroud at my 11 and 12 spot, would I draft Daniel Jones? Would I take Daniel Jones or the 102? Would I take Kirk Cousins or the 102? Nope. And so that's where I was like, I just can't do that. Would I take Tua for the 102 right now? Maybe that's a steal, but maybe I'm, you know, not getting the best. So I put Young and Stroud in my top 12, and I'm sure if I put that out on Reddit, get destroyed. But you know, that's what I did, and that was my rationale behind it. And I know that, you know, Alex, you said you're going to put your rookies in after the draft. Alex, you have Mahomes, Allen, Hurts, Burrow, Herbert, Lamar, Lawrence. You have Watson. I think that's 8. Then you have Fields, then Murray, Prescott, and Tua. With Kyler Murray, a lot of question marks with what's going on there. What are your thoughts here with Kyler Murray? Are you confident with him as your QB1 in Superflex?
I mean, you can't be, right? Because he's – the last report I saw said maybe starting on the pup. I think I saw that today. Like that they're kind of projecting. I mean, and we're a long ways away. If they're already preparing us for that, I mean, that's not good. You don't want to hear that in January. Like, you want to hear, no, he's ahead of schedule. He's doing great. He might open training camp or something. Like, no. So, I mean, who's the backup there? Is it Colt McCoy still? Like, maybe then you'd be really sad about your options. But no, I'm concerned right now, especially.
Yeah, and I say that we have the same exact ranking. But I even questioned him over the other guys. It's not only an ACL; they also said it was some other ligament damage as well. Cliff Kingsbury is out of town. That might be a positive, might be a negative. The GM comes in there and says, "No one in this building is going to have an ego." I mean, he might have been playing Xbox and didn't hear him, but that was probably directed towards Mr. Murray. And so, I mean, it's going to be interesting. Can Kyler Murray be traded? I mean, not right now that he's hurt. So, and then Dak Prescott, we don't know who the offensive coordinator is going to be for the Dallas Cowboys. Alex, anything on Dak? He's played, he always threw a lot of turnovers, but for fantasy, he was pretty good after he healed up from that injury. Of course, he soured note at the end of the season.
Yeah, he's fine. He's relatively young still. I would still be excited to have him on my team. Like I don't think he's a guy that you need to be preparing to change. I think that 3-year window on him is still totally acceptable.
So some guys that I thought about putting in my top 12 that I didn't, that were on the cusp. Daniel Jones, I think he deserves to be in the conversation at this point. Kirk Cousins, every year he's kind of that guy that's on the fringe. And then some of these other guys that we're going to talk about. So, Alex, let's talk about Mac Jones. Bill O'Brien got hired on. I saw some crazy report from Dove Kleiman today that said Bill Belichick did not hire Bill O'Brien as the OC last year because he was afraid he was going to do so well that he was going to get scooped up by a team next year. I don't know if they were just bantering back and forth, but, I mean, Dove put that out there. What are your thoughts for Mac Jones with Bill O'Brien?
So he is not sniffing my top 12. He is just interesting to me because I think, I mean, looking at the trade value chart, the dynasty trade value chart, I mean, he is down valued at a mid round, second round, 2023. Like he is barely top 18, and maybe even lower than that. Like, he's worth more than that, right? Like he's, I don't think he's great. I don't think he's a, I don't know if that he's the future, but I don't know why he couldn't be you know, a low tier Kirk Cousins, right? Like, and I think you can get him for a steal in Superflex because people are just out. So I think he's interesting. He's a person that I'm looking to try and grab if I can.
Yeah. And so do we have Mac Jones on here? Yeah. So if you look on the right, and so can you let us know what we're looking at real quick, Alex?
Yeah, sure. So I started making trade value charts, and this one is the Dynasty. What I do is I go through and I aggregate expert consensus ranks. I feed it through an algorithm, and then I calibrate it using user data that I often will like manually pull from Reddit or other sources. I break it out by running back, wide receiver, tight end, and quarterback. That way you can look at cross-positional values to look for trades, really, to make it easy. And then I also will throw picks in as well. Really kind of just a graphic to help get an idea of where the market might be on players. So that's what this is. So you can tell by the colors what tier that where we think that there's kind of a tier break. The light green is going to be tier one. But what we're looking at here on the far right is the quarterbacks. And this is where the Mac Jones is. But you can see maybe you might be able to trade like a Pat Freiermuth or that early second, that mid second to try and get it done. At least a starting point. It's a trade value chart. It's not the Bible, right? But it's a good place to start. That's why I like to kind of look
now. And
everyone's evaluation is different. Yeah.
When I saw it, the first thing that stuck out to me was, you know, how clean it is and easy to read. You got the picks over to the left, and you're seeing all the different positions right across. And so, where could people find this?
Yeah, so you can go directly to my website, Peakton High School, schoolwithak.com, and then go to the Dynasty, or just jump on my Twitter. You can find it there as well. I post them on Reddit. That's where I started, and I'm a Reddit guy, but Twitter's great.
This is great. And so with Mac Jones, you know, he finished the season pretty bad. I mean, we saw a lot of arguing, a lot of stuff we don't usually see with the Patriots. We had their defensive coordinator, ex-defensive coordinator, was now their offensive coordinator. I saw have you seen the CBS NFL sports or NFL writers skit? It's hilarious. They were like, let's do something crazy and have the old defensive coordinator be the offensive coordinator for the Patriots. It was wild to see. Mac Jones is frustrated. Tyquan Thornton, you know, he was pretty good this year, but he didn't get to play the full season. Jacoby Myers is a free agent. They got a whole bunch of money invested in tight ends. Really don't know what they're going to do, but, you know, they have Ramondre Stevenson. They got a decent offensive line, you know, and Mac Jones' value is just done. I mean, some people, like the guy above me, he thought Bailey Zappi's going to take his job. He still thinks it might happen. I mean, what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts as far as if someone were to offer you that mid-second for Mac Jones and you were in Superflex, he's your third quarterback, you taking it?
If he's my third quarterback, no, I'm probably not going to take it unless I desperately need something else like that you think might be in the second. But I also agree that I have Zappi on a taxi squad in more than one league because you never know, right? Like, but I think a second's probably a mid second's probably a little low. A late first, I'd probably send him off. But it's hard to replace quarterbacks in Superflex. They're tough, especially because this one's designed for 12 teams, 10 team. It shifts a little bit, of course.
So a couple spots above him, you have Russell Wilson. You have Russell Wilson valued as a late first or a mid 24 first, you know, TJ Hockenson, Jerry Jeudy, Aaron Jones. What are your thoughts with them? I know there's, you know, a lot, we still don't even know who the head coach is yet, but we saw a pretty good finish to the season from Russell Wilson. We saw him running again. But Jerry Jeudy really, he was pretty hot at the end of the year.
Yeah. I was excited for Jeudy. They seemed to be more on the same page. Some of his finishes were that other quarterbacks weren't playing. So like he had like a QB4 finish.
Yeah.
But there was no one else playing. So he still was doing much better. I think I'm ready to be hurt again by Russell Wilson. That's kind of where I am. I'm ready to be hurt by him. I think he's another one where like the current Russell Wilson manager is probably out on him. Same with Mac Jones. I think you could probably shoot early second offer for him. If you want a reasonable third quarterback, or maybe a risky second quarterback, I would be interested at that price.
I feel like that needs to be an episode. Like, I'm ready to be hurt again by this guy. Because we all have those guys that are all over our dynasty roster. And they, you know, like, your buddy needs to come over and tell you, like, it's time to move on. But
it needs to be the title of this episode.
It's don't worry, Alex. It's not you, it's him. Hopefully this year Russell can and I was super excited for Russell Wilson to go there with the weapons and the running game. And you know, spread off the bat, Javonte Williams is hurt. Then there's, you know, Russell Wilson gets hurt. It just, you know, it was a bad turn of events. Changing is hard. Like he was in Seattle for a long time. So I'm not a Russell Wilson hater. I got burned a lot by him this year, but I do hope that he bounces back. I like good quarterback plays, good for the NFL.
It's a very interesting thing, right, where you've got him. Now I'm thinking, okay, there's a couple spots where I'm looking at Will Levis. I'm thinking I might get Will Levis in the 107, 108, 109 range in a rookie draft. Yeah. Would I move that for Russell Wilson? I think I would. And I think you could get that Russell Wilson plus for Will Levis. I really think that is a possibility right now. People are just disgustingly low on him right now. So is that a move? You know, I know we're not necessarily talking rookies because we don't know landing spots or anything like that. But let's say Will Levis gets drafted by Indianapolis at number 4. Are you taking Will Levis or would you take Russell Wilson plus?
What's the plus? Is it a second? Is it a third?
Yeah, I think it depends on the owner, but if I could get a second, that's where I'd be aiming for.
Yeah, based on the chart, I would say it's probably a mid-second because you have him valued as a late first. And so Will Levis as in Superflex will probably a top 7 pick. So
yeah.
To move
especially
up.
Especially at the Colts. Yeah.
Yeah, so you'd probably have to move a mid-second to get up there. It's a lot.
We've seen. So I almost always, I'm the guy that is picking up the veterans because I've seen them do it.
Yeah.
I have multiple leagues where I don't have a pick until the third round because I'll shoot some shots in the third round, fill up my taxi squad, and maybe we'll hit. But I know that Russell Wilson has done it, that he's been a top 12 quarterback every year until this year, right? Like this is basically it.
Yeah.
That's how I play because I don't know, just a pessimist, I guess.
No.
Yeah, so, now I had a guy ask me.
I see you. Alex.
He said Jamar Chase and Jonathan Taylor or the 101, the 106, and the 110. And I was like, you let him have fun on draft day. You go get Jamar Chase and Jonathan Taylor. Like, that was just it wasn't even a question.
It's not even close. Yeah.
And so, but people are just that overexcited about that 101. And I'm like, it was before the game yesterday too, but Jamar Chase is just that dude. And then Jonathan Taylor is someone, again, that people are out on. So, Brad, you wanted to talk about Derek Carr and Kenny Pickett. They're both – I see them both on here. So let's start out with Derek Carr. And they've supposedly not given him permission. I don't know, Alex, if you knew anything about this. There's something to do with his contract. They almost have to make like a hush-hush deal, and they can't announce they can't actually announce this deal until the new year, the new league year starts or something like that. Do you know anything about that?
No, I hadn't heard that. That's interesting. When does the legal tampering – that's
– Well, and he's not a free agent. So what I know is that they have to trade him – before February 15th or agree to trade him before February 15th, or they're on the hook for $32.5 million guaranteed this year and $7.5 million in 2024. So they have to move him within 3 days of the Super Bowl. And so that's what I do know. The other thing was something I heard that was just kind of like I didn't understand it. But I do know, and we saw Matthew Stafford traded the week of the Super Bowl when he was traded. So I think it's going to happen soon, and there's plenty of spots for him. I wrote an article about some of the spots that I thought would be good. I mean, I think anywhere would, you know, any of these spots would be equivalent or better than the Raiders.
Jets, 49ers, those would both be interesting, right? Like, he's just interesting for sure.
You could plop him anywhere in the NFC South, and I'd be happy.
Yep.
So Derek Carr, Brad, what are your thoughts here?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's, I'm not crazy high on this guy like I have been in the past. He's currently my Dynasty QB 19, right? So just to put that into a little bit of perspective, I'm not saying go pay a first for this guy or anything like that. But there is a narrative here, right? This guy threw for the fewest passing attempts of his entire career this year. He threw for his second lowest yardage since his rookie season this year. He's thrown for his second worst completion percentage of his career this year without Darren Waller and without Hunter Renfrow and with the majority of the all season with Davante Adams, who I don't care how long they played together. That was 7 years ago, right? So a new wide receiver addition, plus a new offensive coordinator, plus a new head coach. Everything just set him up for what we had hoped and what I'll tell you. I was high on Derek Carr. I thought he was going to smash. Fact of the matter is I don't think the head coach is good. I don't think the offensive coordinator is good. But I do believe that this is an outlier year for him just from a statistical perspective. When you have one season this far into a career and it's just epically low in every metric, you have to look at everything outside of Derek Carr at that point. Right now, you take that and you couple with what the price of Derek Carr is, he's a buy for me, right? You could get him for a singular 23 second. I saw him go for 223 seconds. I saw him go for Dalvin Cook, a guy who's going to be 29 years old at the running back position. You might get one more season out of him. And then the last narrative is, all right, look, so if anybody's going to tell me right now with a straight face that Carson Wentz and Marcus Mariota and Matt Ryan can get jobs, but Derek Carr can't, I'm not buying that narrative. He is a starting quarterback for someone next year and the year after because his contract is going to force it. He's at least a starting quarterback for two more years somewhere, right? Most of these situations that are looking for quarterbacks outside of the Houston Texans have a pretty nice receiving core around them. So I think he's going to walk in to a pretty decent situation, and you're going to have a serviceable QB2 for your dynasty team for at least a couple years. So I think at price, you got to go buy him. I think he's a buy.
Yeah, and I used Carson Wentz from the Philadelphia to the Colts trade as an example. I don't know if you're going to get a Russell Wilson or a Matthew Stafford type of a two first-round pick kind of a trade, but they traded a second-round pick that year and a conditional second that would turn into a first if he played so many games and ended up being a first. So they traded a first and a second for Carson Wentz. Doesn't look great now. Didn't look great then either. But that's something that you could see happen because, like, the Saints don't have first-round pick. But they could trade a second-rounder and then a future second conditional first. The Jets could do the same thing. I think the Falcons are in play. I think Carolina Panthers, who are desperate to fix their quarterback position, are also in play. You know, and he could also get out. And I've said this before. I think Derek Carr, if I was his agent, I would encourage him to get out of the AFC. No matter what team you put him on, you put him on the Jets. Everyone wants to say the Jets is the best spot. Where does he rank in the AFC?
What about the Commanders? Like, that's a team that's interesting to me. I know they just had a failed experiment with a veteran quarterback, but I'm not going to compare anybody to what Carson Wentz is. I think that's an interesting landing spot coming out of the NFC. It is interesting.
The team is in flux. The ownership is in flux right now, so I don't know if he'd want to go there.
Yeah.
No trade clause, but, I mean, I think it's interesting. If you win eight games, you win the NFC South. Derek Carr can win eight games. And especially if Brady goes somewhere else.
Yeah.
So enough about Derek Carr, unless you got anything, Alex?
No, that's plenty of talking about Derek Carr.
So the next guy on the list you had was Kenny Pickett.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, we're doing both mine back to back. All right. So Kenny Pickett, quarterback 16 for me currently. So again, he's down in the rankings, but I think I'm probably a little bit higher than most on him being a QB 16. Look, Dynasty, you're looking at long-term, and we always talk, you know, that's what we do here is Dynasty. He's got, this is a fact, he is the longest-standing contract out of all of these starting quarterbacks. All of them. right? He's got four more years, possibly three guaranteed, plus that fifth year option. Now, I know that doesn't necessarily mean he's a starting quarterback for all of those, but from a contractual perspective, he's got that lock. Plus, he's got all these weird things that are going on. Bad play calling with Matt Canada. He only had 66 passing attempts in play action. And you say, Brad, why does that matter? Well, let's think about this from a play calling perspective. You've got a guy in Najee Harris who touched the ball over 300 times last year. And then you come in and you only run 66 play action calls. Like, what the hell are you doing, Matt Canada? What are you doing? You're not using the guy in the backfield to your advantage, right? So figure it out. It doesn't look like they're going to move on from Matt Canada. It sounds like the ownership team is kind of backing him a little bit and said, hey, look, he had two new quarterbacks too. And we did see some progression throughout the season. We saw improvements as the season went on. We saw him only throw one interception over the last nine games, right? You think about Kenny Pickett, and most people probably think those two three-interception games, one was his first start, and then another one a couple games after that. But over the last nine games of the season, he only threw one interception. And you take this statistic for as you will, because I know a lot of people kind of talk, you know, there's differing opinions about PFF, but PFF has him as only four turnover-worthy plays throughout that nine-game span as well. So all of those things, it's just play calling. It's not necessarily Kenny Pickett. It's they're getting into the red zone. He's only got like sub-50 passing attempts in the red zone. Like, what's that about? That's pretty bad for a guy who started – 12 games, whatever it was. So they've got to figure out that offense a little bit. And again, price is kind of the driver here, just like it was with Derek Carr. You could give up David Montgomery and get Kenny Pickett and Gabriel Davis. I think that, and this is super flex. I think that's a smash deal. You could give up Dalton Schultz and Rondale Moore for Kenny Pickett. Right. Again, a starting quarterback. Like, these are two offers that I think you could feasibly find the Kenny Pickett owner and get them to take. Right. And I think they are very, very solid deals. I can't read the trade chart right now to see if that's kind of in line with where we've got Kenny Pickett. But it's very interesting to me to be able to do that. Right. So you got Dalton Schultz and a wide receiver for Kenny Pickett. So that's getting pretty close. Right.
Yeah.
Anytime you can do a two-for-one like that, you are, and you can consolidate as long as you have depth. I would do that all day, that type of trade.
Any thoughts on Alex? Any thoughts on Kenny Pickett?
I think he is a reasonable buy low. I don't know that I've seen enough that I think he'll be the starter for his full contract. I just haven't seen it yet. Like, but he also really hasn't been asked to do a whole lot. I think that offensive coordinator is not going anywhere, and that makes me sad. So I'm also just sad, I guess, because I mean, I want to see Pickens just get the ball slung to him. To be honest, just I want to see one-handed catches all day. That's what I want to see, but maybe not this. Maybe 2024.
We got Deontay Johnson is on the roster. You got Najee Harris. I mean, you have the pieces, and so you know, and we'll see if he can carry them. Obviously, you know, it's a lot for a rookie quarterback to be able to prop up two weapons. And instead of propping up one, he kind of every other week, it was a different guy. But Pickens looked good at the end of the season. And, we'll see if Deontay Johnson can move back. The guys I want to talk about were Daniel Jones. And so I was listening to Dynasty Nerds, and they were talking about Daniel Jones and whether it can be in the top 12. And the Brian Daboll effect is just huge. You saw what it did for Daniel Jones. You saw what it did for Josh Allen. Not only was Josh Allen better, astronomically better, whenever he was with that coaching staff, but he was not as good this year without Daboll. Some of those plays, some of the decisions at the end of the season really did, it really did hurt. Josh Allen, he was doing some of the things that you saw old Josh Allen mistakes, especially in the playoff game. With Daboll, you have Daniel Jones getting a QB1 finish this year with Isaiah Hodgins, Marcus Johnson, or Colin Johnson, or whichever Johnson. and Darius Slayton.
Richie James, yeah.
And Richie James. And
Kenny Golladay.
Yeah, Kenny Golladay got a touchdown. I'm pretty sure it's from Tyrod Taylor. It was from Tyrod Taylor. Kenny Golladay still not caught a touchdown from Dale Jones yet. Dale Jones was benched that game. But you have Wando Robinson coming back next year. There's no doubt the Giants are going to look for a free agency receiver or a rookie receiver or both. This offensive line looks way improved. You have Saquon Barkley, who the Giants are expected to bring back. They're expected to bring Daniel Jones back. If Daniel Jones goes somewhere else and gets paid money to go somewhere else, then obviously that team believes in him. Then he's still going to be up there as far as dynasty quarterback. Even if he gets just franchise tag with the Giants, he's 25 years old. He's a rushing quarterback. And you have all these other guys behind him where there's just a lot of question marks. You're going to take 39-year-old Aaron Rodgers over him. You may or may not retire whenever he feels like it. You have Tom Brady. He's 40, going to be 46 next year. We don't know what's going to happen with a lot of these guys that we already talked about. With Tua, I can see taking Tua over Daniel Jones, but I can see the argument of taking Daniel Jones over Tua. And so I feel like he is a fringe QB1 at this point, and I know that last year at this point that would have been blasphemous to say. I have him at QB14, and I really thought about putting him in the top 12. I just could not put myself to say I would take Daniel Jones over the top two quarterbacks in this draft class. I wouldn't do that. But he's close, and he's right there with Tua, right there with Kirk Cousins for me, and I think there's a good argument to put him inside the top 12 in your dynasty startups. Alex, I don't know if you do this, but we're going through some mock drafts, and it's always interesting when you see trade charts and you're like, I would never trade this guy for the 106. And I'm like, I just did a startup yesterday and the 106 went two rounds after this guy.
No, really? Like,
when you do the startups and you put the picks in there, the value for the picks is kind of zapped because you're like trying to put together a roster and you're drafting guys. And I'm looking at the guys available in my draft, and I'm like, I'm taking the 212. Why would I – like, I got Rondale Moore as, like, my best option here. Like, I'm taking the 212.
Take the pick.
But I have others where people are drafting guys like Isaiah Pacheco, and I'm like, 110 was on the board. Like, what are you doing? Like, and so, like, when you do the startups with the picks, it does change how you view some of these things. And I know that some people, if they don't do that – well, I mean – I'm seeing the board, and I'm seeing the pick next to the player, and it's similar to this chart where it's like, that is the value. Like, I literally had the option of 110 or, Daniel Jones, and I decided, at that point I might have picked Daniel Jones, but I wouldn't have taken Daniel Jones over the 102.
It's a valuable bargaining chip when you're looking at off-season dynasty trades, for sure.
And so if you guys do your mock drafts, you can always use kickers as just the placeholders, so you don't have to actually use the players. You can use IDP players for it as well, or just put the players in there and see where it is. But it is a very valuable tool, and we've been telling people to use it. Usually on Mondays we do mock drafts, and we go through the startups and go through the rookie mock drafts. The next guy I want to talk about is Geno Smith, and I think Geno Smith is a guy that you could buy low on. And the reason I say that is because there are people that, and maybe you guys are included, that don't believe in Geno because of how much we've seen from him, and the majority of what we've seen is bad. The Seahawks have two first-round picks. They could use them on one of these quarterbacks. They could take a quarterback early, a Will Levis. They could go with a Hendon Hooker in the late first round, or Anthony Richardson. They could sit behind Geno Smith for a year, or Geno Smith gets transition or franchise tag. Those guys get picked in the first round, week 8. They're taking over for Geno. That is in the realm of possibilities, and I think that's baked into his cost. I think he has that locker room, and he took them to the playoffs this year with a very bad roster. I mean, this was a roster that was pretty depleted. I know that they had a lot of rookies that showed up, but this is one of the younger rosters in the league. They had two starting rookie tackles last year. They have good weapons. If Geno Smith is the quarterback for the Seahawks for the next two seasons, I'm getting him at QB 17 or 18 in my drafts. I'm very comfortable with that. And I think, you know, looking at the trade chart where I could get Geno late first is tough. I mean, that's a tough one. But if you sent me a 202 and I'm getting Geno Smith back right now, and I feel like that could be my QB2, I'd be okay with that.
Does it change if you have a reasonable QB3? Like, would you be willing like that? I'm scared that they're going to draft someone and he'll be out at week 8.
Yeah.
I have a hard time estimating him being a starter more than 1 year. What do we have? 10 years of him not, 9 years of him not. Like, it's.
I get it.
Yeah. Is he going to turn back into a pumpkin?
Let's say Jared Goff's probably too close. We'll say Mac Jones was my QB3. I mean, I'd be okay with doing that because I know that I'm going to start Geno Smith over Mac Jones for those 8 weeks.
But you have a net. You have a safety net.
Yep.
Of Mac Jones. Yeah.
Yeah, it's, you know, would I take Geno Smith over, you know, some of those rookies? I mean, it's tough because you really want to look at your roster and say, you know, like, you just want to look at the values and not look at competing. But, like, he was a top 10 quarterback this year, and he's going to be in a similar, if not better, situation next year. And you're not – I don't think you're going to have to pay top 12, top 13 quarterback value because of the way the season ended. And that's my argument for Geno. I think you can get him on a value before he signs a contract, because if he does sign a contract, then the price is going to go right back up.
Yeah, and he's not one of these guys that you saw for – 5 weeks and he played really well in that fight. He's not a Brock Purdy style where you saw six really good weeks, you know, not really good, but solid startable weeks. You saw it the whole season. You saw him lead the league in completion percentage. You saw him produce with DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. Kenneth Walker is a rookie. They're bringing other rookies in or other weapons in. Maybe they bring in a tight end outside of Noah Fant, Will Disley, who knows. But it's I could see both sides of the coin. This is a tough one for me because, to Alex's point, he could be gone halfway through this season, right? So I've got him at QB 26 right now because I just – until he 26? Gets paid, it's 8 weeks. I can't put a guy up there who could potentially, hell, he might not even get 8 weeks. Let's say they trade up and get CJ Stroud or Bryce Young. He ain't even getting 8 weeks. He might be out in 4. Who knows when their bye is? Let's say they got an early bye and he's out week 6. Like, I'm not paying a 202 for a guy who could be benched 6 weeks in the next season and literally be completely worthless after that. Once he gets benched, he's done. He's not coming back from that. So I have to see the contract. Once that contract is there, he'll be bumped up. But until then, I can't take – it's too much risk right now.
Yeah, and that's why I have him as a buy low.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, yeah. You could get him for – I think you did, actually. Is it for me that you bought him?
No, it was somebody else. I paid two-thirds for Geno Smith last year.
Oh, yeah.
And so that was like 4 or 5 weeks in because they had the same, you know, pretty much like Geno Smith's gonna fall, like the wheel's gonna fall off here any second. And so I gave him 2/3 and took it. And like I said, I can see the argument for that, but 26 for me would just be, I had to see the list. There's a lot of guys on there that.
Now I do have 4 rookies in the rankings already, and Stroud and Young and Levis and Hooker ahead of him also, right? So you pull those guys up, he gets bumped up to 22. I don't know if that helps any, but.
Hey, your rankings. So, Alex, anything else before we get out of here on Geno or any of these quarterbacks?
No, I think it's all about your risk tolerance and how you like to play. You don't trade for all of these guys on the same team. Right, like don't get too many of these risky. Like what we were talking about is, it's good to take some risk because that's the best opportunity for variance to hit and then gains value. Like overall, So do some of these. Please don't do them all. Right, pick your battles. Right,
if you got Russell Wilson, Geno Smith, and Mac Jones as your quarterback room, You got some big cojones. All right. Well, hey, Alex, I really appreciate
it. Did Alex talk about his two guys?
Yeah.
Outside of the top 12? Oh, he did? I've had too much bourbon. Sorry.
That's all right. That's all right. We went back to back with his Kenny Pickett and Mac Jones. No, he had Mac Jones and
Russ. All right. I remember now. It came back.
Again, you've been very gracious with your time and your tools here. I appreciate it. And again, congratulations. First day at Draft Sharks. So they're lucky to have you. Anything else before we go as far as where we can find your work?
Yeah, anywhere. Just look up Pinkton High School. I'm everywhere. Reddit, Twitter. I have a website. Oh, and then also find some tools and some things I'm working on. You'll see some articles from me from Draft Sharks too coming out. Eventually. It's my first day. It'll be a minute.
Cool. Well, as always, good luck this season.
Cheers.
Me too.